Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing? I love the Lord's church, and I really love the Monday morning family camp folk. 7 a.m. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11. Really appreciated the theme. Really thankful for the preaching, and been very encouraging. Teachings from the Torah. And I appreciate, boy, those Sadducees come testing Jesus, and he answers them straight from the Torah, where they get the basis for their own beliefs that brought about their sect in the first place. And so, yeah, I just appreciate it. Good. The whole word is the word of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to read 17 through 19 in opening. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "And Isaac, your descendant, shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, what a great God you are. One to which we cry out, Abba, Father. Lord, you desire good for our lives. Lord, you have not only led by leading with your life and your sacrifice, but you did it so you yourself might be firstborn among many brethren. You've called us alongside you. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing that is. Lord, you have left us with your word, your Holy Spirit, and your people to do your will. May we continue to strengthen one another, and may we take the energy and the encouragement from this weekend and seek your kingdom and your righteousness. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. The idea that faith and logic are on separate planes is a relatively new idea. Straight from somewhere right around 1856. This is faith over here, and over here we've got logic, and the two cannot coexist together. It is a relatively new idea. I mean, think about it. I mean, 1856, you know, roughly 150 years ago, short amount of time when you compare it to the creation of the world. Newton, Kelvin, Pasteur, Job, scientists, believers in God. People understood that the study and the observation of the creation is because of a creator. And so with the oncoming work of Darwin in the middle 1800s, Satan has been able to sell this lie in our world that faith and logic are on two separate planes and do not coexist together. I'm just young enough, yes, to know what a typewriter is and have used one. And just old enough this morning to where those stairs looked a little nicer than that leap up over there. And so I used encyclopedias to write my papers in junior high and in high school. Okay? Computers in junior high were only used for the Oregon Trail game. They weren't used for internet research and Google searches. Okay? A quote directly out of the Encyclopedia Americana says, "Geological, anthropological, and archaeological study make it impossible for the thinking man to take seriously the biblical view of creation, the biblical view of the universe and the creation stories in Genesis." The story of creation in Genesis. It's a lot of words and a lot of ologies and a lot of scientific study. But it's a fancy way for saying you're a dummy if you believe the Bible. That's what was in my hands in junior high. Responsible for educating my mind. (Clears throat) archaeology, anthropology, and geology study make it impossible for a thinking man to take serious God's word. Because faith and logic, they can't go together. I called the admissions office at Montana State Billings a few weeks back, as I do every year in August. You know, I run a non-accredited Christian school, and I like my kids to go to college if they'd like that. So I call every year. Well, you know, just remind me, you know, what are you guys doing over there? What do you need from me? What do you need from my kids? And, you know, I was explaining a situation. I had an opportunity where we could probably get a public school kid over for their last year of school. And I, you know, had some questions. And I said, you know, I just want you to understand my situation. We got someone transferring. They got public high school transcript. Their last year is going to kind of be, you know, out of the public school system. I just want you to understand my situation. And so she got really curious and asked some questions. And I said, well, you know, you'd be really surprised how bad the drugs and alcohol are in the public school system here in Billings. I know a handful of the public schools in Billings have rules on what color water bottles you can bring to school so you can't bring your Jack Daniels for lunch. That's for real. There are too many kids drinking during class. And I said, and the other thing that this student told me, and a reason why they want to transfer to my school, is because they don't appreciate evolution being taught. Do you know what answer I got on the other line? Oh, sir, you must not like science. I love science. Study of God's creation. I said, no, ma'am, I don't appreciate fact. Theory being taught is fact. Which was brought out in our opening message. It's just an idea. Just lately, within the last month, a prominent Yale University scientist denounced his belief in evolution. You know what he's quoted as saying? Evolution, at one point, was beautiful, and at its best, a really good guess. So many of these guys, as we get down to the subatomic level and study the intricacies of DNA, they're saying this can't work. It's impossible. Right. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Verse 19, he says, he considered God is able to raise people even from the dead. And I'm always reminded of the fact that Jesus raised his buddy outside the town before he marched in Jerusalem for the last time. It says, so that God will be glorified, yes? And so that the people could be ready for his own resurrection. Now, near as I can tell, we don't have an example where Abraham got to see that beforehand. You see, he sits here and he says, my name's been changed to Abraham. I'm a father of the multitude. I've been given a child by a miracle. And he doesn't have any kids. Where's the descendants? Do you know what logical conclusion Abraham came to? He considered God is able to raise people from the dead. Now, I did this in Billings, but I got to do it for you folk here. It says, Abraham considered. What does consider look like? He thought! And we just merged the two together. He stopped and he contemplated. He considered. And his logical conclusion is that God can raise the dead. That is faith. Is it Romans that said Abraham understood God can give life to the dead. God can cause that to come into being which doesn't exist. And because of that, Abraham did not grow weak in faith, but contemplated his own body now as good as dead and the deadness of Sarah's womb. But there was another word that started with a C in there. Paul writes to the Romans and tells us that Abraham contemplated. That's another one of these words. He thought, well, I'm old, she's old. God must be able to bring into existence that which doesn't exist. And must be able to give life to the dead. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. Start at verse 49. Luke 12, 49. I have come to cast fire upon the earth, Jesus says. And how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished. This, yeah, I've read this, but it really hit me this past month. What does Jesus want? He says, oh, how I wish it was already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo. Faith and trust in God's plan. You know, we don't get to run around doing what we want or reacting because of a certain way how we feel. That's not the foundation of our faith. Even Jesus himself. I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and oh, how I wish it was already kindled. That's what he wants. But he thinks it's not God's plan. It's not God's timing. You see, I bring this up because I really appreciate family camp. And for us, it's almost kind of like our new year. Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but that's kind of how I look at it. Kind of my new year. And it's the time for spiritual recharging. And I've had lots of conversations with you guys. And, you know, a bunch of you told me, what you're going to do when you go back home? Spiritual goals. Okay. Fitness goals, health goals, family goals. Things you want to do for the congregation, evangelical goals. So I want to encourage us this morning, because some of us got beat down this year. Some of us probably messed up. There is a tremendous need for the spirit indwelt Christian to renew and to overcome, which has been brought out very well this weekend and really well last night. A tremendous need to renew and to overcome, and it starts in the mind. It starts by making a choice. You know, I heard it said one time, Christianity exists in the space between the front and back of your head. You guys have heard that one? Jay said it. Go to Ephesians 4. Verse 20. But you did not learn Christ in this way. Referring to the way the Gentiles like to live their lives. Okay? But you did not learn Christ in this way. Indeed, if you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God and has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. He says, you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Christian, we need to move past the elementary principles of the world. We need to move past the false doctrines. We need to move past the immorality. We need to move past the idolatry, the greed, the idolatry, the adultery. The Lord's people have been created for so much better. And it starts in your mind. You have to make a choice. That's how it's explained to us about the father of the faithful, Abraham. That when he was tested, and tested really hard. I got a 13-month-old sitting back there in the cutest outfit you've ever seen. I couldn't imagine having to offer him up. It just breaks my heart thinking about it. And when these stories are here for us and for our instruction, they tell us that it began in the mind. What has God said? Did God change my name to Abraham? Am I a father of a multitude? Will I receive a child by promise? Has God said those things? Then they are so. How about you? Are you a new creature? Made for this. You know that ice hockey movie about the Soviets and the Americans? You know, I've only seen clips of it. You know, Miracle on Ice. And he gets up there and he gives them the speech and he's talking to them and he says, "You were made for this." For hockey? Maybe them guys. But Christian, you were made for this. To overcome temptation. And I like the way it was said, and to kick the serpent's head as it's prophesied. As there's no secret sauce, you know, Jay's right. I do run a school and I do engage in personal Bible studies because there's a ton of growth that's done in those. And people this summer, the theme this year, largely amongst younger Christians, not young and younger Christians, okay, they're young and they're newly Christians. The theme this summer for me was, man, how do I do this? You know, they've been doing it for 6 months, they've been doing it for a year, and oh man, they just ran into the world. Guys, there's no secret sauce. You got to wake up in the morning and you got to set your mind on things above. It starts in the mind. It goes to those who just do it. That's faith. I mean, that chapter we pulled out of in Hebrews 11, man, there's a big old long list of people who chose to do God's will. And he blessed it. And they served their purpose in their generation. For God's glory. You know, I think of Joshua and Caleb. What's the difference between them and the ten? They chose to believe God. And it makes me laugh because sometimes when I'm at my low, I wonder why this stuff's all not that so hard. I just got to do it. But there's an old man. And there is a world. But I think at some point, as a brand new Christian, I was somewhat guilty of this. But, you know, sometimes we look at our preachers, and sometimes we look at our family camp preachers and our evangelists and think, man, those guys got it. You know, they must have got an edge, or their lives must not be as hard as mine. You know, I don't know how long it takes to be a Christian before you realize, or if you have any involvement with your preacher, their lives are not easier. You know what's different? Is that these individuals who have been doing it for 10, 20, 30, 40 years wake up every morning and they set their mind to do the Lord's will in their life. At all cost. That's the difference. They renew the mind. Let's go to Romans 12. Verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, I had someone unpackage this for me years ago. In verse 2, he says, do not be conformed to this world. I have to give credit to David Renner because I heard him say it, but I know he ripped it off of someone else. But at youth camp this last year, he said, you know, Christianity is kind of like going up an escalator. Is that the thing in the elevator that takes you upstairs? He's like, it's like going up an escalator that's coming down. You know, when I was a kid, that was like the highlight of your day. Yeah. Because you got to get those little legs churning faster than the escalator's coming down if you're going to make it to the top. Spiritual lesson. If those legs stop moving, you start sliding. You're either in a process of being transformed or conformed. Ask the Laodiceans. So in verse 2, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, the scriptures say that God does will and to work in our lives. But I wonder what our role is here. See, we know scripture says he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. The renewing by the Holy Spirit. We also know scripture says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Being transformed by the Spirit. You see, when we read here in Romans 12, verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That's not your part. That is the Holy Spirit's part. You try to transform your own heart, you can just go back to the Torah and the Old Covenant and see how that works. By the renewing of your mind. The Christian renews the mind. We don't do the transforming, we do the mind setting. Here, the picture I have, the Holy Spirit is an army of a power standing on the front lines, ready to conquer the giants in your life. It's just waiting for the command. It's just waiting for the orders. Can overcome anything that's set before it. It's just waiting for the orders. It's waiting for the orders to come down from up top, saying, I choose to renew my mind. Set it on the things of God's Spirit, and to set it on things above. I had a really encouraging conversation with a Christian this summer. I had a bunch of them. Good Christian on the out, you know, on the outside, you know, upright. And they said to me, I struggle in this area, in this particular area. And, you know, I made it. I made it my goal to overcome this sin this year. And so the first of the year came around and I made a goal to have this kicked by X amount of time. Well, that's a good thing to do. And I hope that when we read sections in Colossians and Galatians and see the deeds of the flesh, and we see those, and if we recognize those in our life, that our first reaction is to want to overcome those things. But the part where the conversation for me got really hair-raising is this individual began to tell me how they did that. And they said, every morning I got up. And I got up early, and I read my Bible, and I prayed, and I renewed my mind. Amen. Woke up every morning to make a choice to trust the Lord. Brethren, does Paul say he can do all things through him who strengthens him? Yeah. The Christian needs strengthened. You see, faith and logic exist on the same plane because that's the definition of faith. A reasonable, logical proof of things unseen. The conviction of things unseen. And so if we are really going to leave encouraged this weekend and put to death the deeds of the body and to overcome and to be a people that we've been created and called to be, it is going to be through a continual process of renewing the mind. Waking up every day and saying, God, you have said it, it is so, and I trust you, and I believe it. It starts up here. Have to make the choice. What do you struggle with? You don't have to tell me. But has it been 5, 10, 15, 20 years? Is it the same thing? Over and over and over again. You gotta set the mind. God's word. These scientists, you know, it came about in 0.00000 how many milliseconds. Boom! That's God's word. It's powerful. And he promises you that if you will set your mind and renew it, he'll transform you into the image of his son. I couldn't think of anything else more exciting to be engaged in daily. Right. Colossians chapter 1. Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You want that strengthening? You got to set that mind. You got to set that mind. In Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9, it says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, referring to the faith and love of the Colossian, he says, we've not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. You know, I pause for a second just to throw in a freebie. You know, I went through Colossians this summer. You know, that's interesting because he opens pretty good here with the Colossian and learned of their faith and of their love towards one another. And he says, for this reason, I'm going to keep praying for you. You know, because it doesn't stop there. Okay. When you get immersed into Christ and you get transferred into his kingdom and you show good signs of faith and love, that's when the apostle says, all right, it's time to start praying for you because the battle's coming. Verse 10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I don't know about you guys, but before my father passed, he told me a few times, he said, you know, one thing about you that from the very beginning, you always had a desire to please your parents. Yeah. Some kids just kind of naturally lean that way. Some kids are like that. And then the other ones, Proverbs tells you how to get them there. This This is allowed to hit your heart, you know. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I sincerely hope and I do pray that that means something to you. Desire to walk in a manner worthy of our Lord. He says, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Joyous patience. He says, so that you will be strengthened with all power by His glorious might. For the attaining of all steadfastness. Guys, we know the verses. I have joy in tribulation. Tribulations produce perseverance. Perseverance, proven character. Proven character, hope. James says, all those trials, count them joy. Because they create endurance. We know the verses. You see, these things are designed to strengthen us. Because again, as was brought out this week, there's an adversary. And our Lord God wants us to overcome him. To trample him down. If you're not renewing your mind, you're setting yourself up for failure. He says, to be strengthened with all power for the attaining of steadfastness. The ability to stand firm day in and day out. Not to go back to the former things of which you are now ashamed. But to overcome them for the attaining of steadfastness. You know, I get this picture of an army. You know, not like a 21st century American army, but like a Braveheart army. Standing on top of the hillside. And the opposing army's got their shield in one arm and their sword in the other. And the whole mob is rushing towards you. And our king is saying, hold! They're coming. He has promised that if we will hold, we will not only defeat the onrushing forces, we will drive them back! You're going to need some steadfastness to hold. You're going to need it. And it comes through the strengthening available through His glorious might. I wonder what that would be. Ephesians chapter 3. Starting verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father. Man, Paul's praying for them again. Okay. From whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. There is that glorious might. What do you know? The Spirit involved in the strengthening process. Also involved in the transforming process. This is Paul's prayer. Bow my knees before the Father, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. If you pray for that and you renew your mind, that's what God delivers. That's His process. You see, this faith thing, it starts up in the head. You got to make a choice. You have to decide to go with God's Word and to set your mind. If you do it, the Spirit will transform you. He will strengthen you because the Lord's people need to be strengthened for spiritual battle. Christian, if... If you're not doing this, you're like my corn plants last year. Okay? Now, last year was my second year gardening, so I had it all figured out. The people laughing are gardeners because they know it takes a lifetime, and even then you're still learning. But it was my second year, and I had already done my fail year the year before. So I was going to get a head start the second year, get everything planted indoors. I even bought a grow light and made myself a little shelf to put it on. And I put everything in pods, even things you should direct sow into the ground that I learned in year three from my mistakes in year two. Now, I hope there are really gardeners in here because I, instead of direct sowing corn into the ground, I put it in the little seed growing pods. You're allowed to laugh at me. Get it out. Corn's unique in that it sends a very, very deep taproot down right away. Mine looked like a slinky. Do you know what corn plants do when their taproot only goes an inch deep? That's the picture I get. If you're not renewing that mind, you got a deed of the flesh that's been following you around for a decade, and you haven't beat it. You got to renew your mind. And if you're not doing it, you're like my corn plant. It's not going to make it. You're going to get swept away. We have to be strengthened. You know, you go through the corn mazes and you see how unique the root system is on corn, you know, different from other plants, you know. It's a strong root system. And they get stocky and they get tall. And they need it. But if there's no foundation, if there's no renewing of the mind, the plant can't do it. Christian, we need to renew because the Lord's people need to be strengthened. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. You got His Holy Spirit, but you got to let it lead, Paul says to the Roman. These who are led by the Spirit, these are children of God. Think you wake up every morning, he's like, oh, you got the Spirit, zap, strength. We renew the mind. We set the mind. And He strengthens us. We have an adversary who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. You know, those prey cats, man, you know, they'll lay around all day watching the herd so they can find the weak one. You guys have heard the joke, you don't have to be able to outrun a bear, you just have to be able to, you know, outrun your buddy. And, you know, that's what it's like. If you aren't making that logical choice to open up your Bible, to read what God has said about you, and about your king, and about His plan for your life, and then choosing to align your thoughts with His thoughts, you're the gazelle in the back of the pack. Don't be the gazelle. You know, adopt God's nutritional plan. Eat the Word of God. And exercise the fruits of the Spirit. Adopt God's view. Let's close in Galatians 5. We're just going to grab verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. God said it. Do you believe it? I just want to encourage you this morning. You know, it's interesting. You know, you say God created the world, and the person on the other side of the phone says you must not like science. You must not be a thinking person. They come together for the Christian. see it in Abraham, saw it in Jesus. They made a choice. Jesus is like, I got a baptism to undergo, and how I wish for it to be accomplished. That's a mindset. Scripture says Jesus resolutely set his face towards Jerusalem. Christian, you set your mind. You set your mind to overcome this year. Do not leave this great weekend and this great teaching to be overcome by the deeds of the flesh this year. You set your mind and overcome. Walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. See, Satan can only sink his claws into a fleshly mindset. Stand firm, resist the devil, and he will flee far from you. Amen?